Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for the name of Jesus. Thank you for the authority we have because of that name. Thank you that we have the use of that name, and you've given that name under heaven. And by that name, demons flee, and bondages are broken, and yokes are destroyed. Hallelujah. We thank you for the yoke-destroying power and anointing in this house this morning. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's some, I sense some folks, the devil's been yakety yak yak in your ear. That could, you know, in some one sense of the word, it could be all of us, but there's some people specifically, the devil's specifically saying something, you know, specific that he's trying to get into your thought life and into your imagination. Take the authority of the name of Jesus right now and rebuke it. Amen. Take the authority of the name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Just repeat this after me. Say, Father,
Father,
you've given me the use of the name of Jesus. And at the use of that name,
demons flee.
I take authority over that pounding voice, that harassing voice that's been speaking in my ear. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Now, one of the things you and I have to do is take the word and answer that specifically. Answer what the devil's saying specifically. Amen. So that's I can't be specific because I don't know what he's talking to you about. But you take those scriptures that apply specifically to what he's saying. Maybe he's saying you're going to die young. You take the word. Psalmist David said, with long life he'll satisfy me. Or I'll live and not die. Amen. So whatever it is that you take that word and you answer that specifically. Amen. And tell that demon to get out of your life. Amen. How many of you know God's given us something better to think on than just that yakety yak yak? That's not his plan for us in life. Going through life just harassed and tormented by some harassing thought. Amen. Are you free this morning? Hallelujah. Through the name of Jesus, we can take authority and Satan and demons flee. Amen. Well, it's worth coming to church just for that. All right. Praise the Lord. Get your Bible. Hold it up. Say, hold your Bible up real high. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's Word. My mind is alert. My body is awake. Take your Bible and hit somebody, not on the head, on the shoulder. Say, your body is awake and your spirit is receptive. I'm not going to be the same after what I hear this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Greet three people again and then you may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles. If you brought your Bible to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And I didn't really know until last night what I was going to be sharing on. I would have loved to have announced it. But Colossians chapter number 3. And let's start in let's just read verse number 9 and 10. Colossians chapter number 3 says, well, just verse number 10. That'd be the most applicable to what I want to share. Verse number 10. Colossians 3:10, have put on the new man. Remember right before that he talks about put off the old man. Put off all these things, anger and so forth. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. I want to talk to you about this new knowledge. This new man is renewed in knowledge. Not only has he not only have we received a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Remember that? Old things have passed away. All things in this new man. Talking about this new man. All things are new, including what he knows. He's got a new knowledge. You know, your spirit man, there's three parts to man's being. Paul prayed in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. It's one of the most important revelations after you get born again, filled with the Spirit. It's the most important revelations you can get because many Christians still haven't identified the part of their being that God talks to and that God has worked this mighty work in them. It's in the spirit of man, not the soul. The Bible tells us after we're born again, Romans 12:2, to be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Yes. That happens after the new birth.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But the body, he tells us in, Paul said, for example, 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under. Paul's born again, but he's got to do something with his body.
Yes.
He told us in Romans 2, we got to do something with our mind. God didn't do anything with our spirit. With our mind, our soul, I was going to say soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, or our bodies when we got born again, he did something in our spirits.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that part of our being is the part that's supposed to grow spiritually. We talk about growing spiritually?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Spiritually means the spirit man is the part of you that's growing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bible said we're to grow up into the full measure of the stature of Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
That's a high goal, but I'm telling you, that's what the plan is. So, but that man, the new man, all things are new. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You ought to get your dictionary out sometime, your Greek dictionary, and look at the word new in the New Testament. God likes new things. That's where you got it. My wife raised her hand. You see that? And I get a new credit card bill every month. But I'm not just talking about natural things. Amen. You like new scenery. You like new routine. That's why people like vacations. They get out of their rut and routine and praise God. Many people's life's boring. You ought to get some new life. Get a new life. God likes new things. New heaven, new earth, new creation. We're going to get a new name. We got a new nature.
Yeah.
We could go on and on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But this new man, he's got new knowledge.
Yes.
Isn't that what that verse said? He's renewed. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. There's the inward man, this is the new creation, the spirit of man, the born again human spirit. He knows some things that your head hasn't caught up with yet. Amen. What does he know? He's renewed in knowledge. Look at what it says. In the image. Or renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's God. After the image of God. So this new knowledge is in the image that God has of you. You're going to have to pay close attention because there's going to be a lot coming this morning. This new man has new knowledge. He knows things your mind doesn't know yet. You know, the main reason is because the Holy Spirit has come into you and dwells in you through the new birth. When you were born again, it was the Holy Spirit that came in and recreated your human spirit. But he stayed. He didn't leave. He took up residency in your spirit. That's why we're called the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, it says my body isn't the temple. Yeah, that's because you're the temple. Your body is your temple. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in your body. He lives in your spirit.
Yes,
but he lives in your body because you live in your body.
Exactly.
So this new man has a new knowledge, and it's knowledge in the image that God has. In other words, we were created. Remember when man was first created in Genesis, he was created. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
Now, sometimes we think because that just means, it does mean this, but it doesn't just mean this. People think it just means because God has a form like a man or we have a form like God.
Right.
That means we're in His image. Well, that's part of it. But if you read in Ephesians, whenever he quotes, because Ephesians and Colossians are sister books. A lot of things he said in Ephesians, he said in Colossians. But if you went back to Ephesians chapter number 4, I'll get it here. I think I'm in the right chapter. Ephesians chapter number 4, he says some of the same things. Put off, verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's the thought life. And put on the new man which, notice this, after God. Now, the book of Colossians says he's renewed in knowledge after the image of God.
Right.
Yeah. Ephesians says after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
So think about this. God, this new man is in the image of God.
Yes, he is.
He's born of God.
Yes.
We're not born. The new man, the new creation is not born of your mom and dad. Your mom and dad didn't give you your spirit. God gave. Bible said, Hebrews calls God, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number, what is it, 3, 4, down in there, some are 5 or something like that, calls God the Father of spirits. Your parents gave you your body. God gave you your spirit. Your spirit came from God. I remember whenever, before the Warner's twins were born, I saw two little spirits going around God's throne. We want to go into the earth. Hallelujah. Had that in a vision. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And they received them into the earth. While they were at it, they went ahead and got some more. You know what I'm talking about? I think they're done from what I'm told. Anyway, they might be watching by live stream. We talked about them. But anyway, the spirit came from God. God is the Father of spirits. Your parents didn't give you your spirit. They gave you your body. These people that are studying genetics, they're missing the whole point. I'm not saying it's wrong to study genetics, but my point is, you know, that goes back to what Paul said, people follow in endless genealogies and so forth. I mean, it doesn't matter who your parents were. It matters who your spiritual father is. And we could go a lot of time on that, but anyway, so you're born of the Spirit, and that man has new knowledge. The new knowledge is in the image of God, and Ephesians says that's in righteousness and true holiness, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man has a new knowledge. He has a knowledge of righteousness.
Yes.
Now go back to Genesis. I'm going to spend a little time on this. You might wonder where we're going. We're going to just talk about getting the image that God has of you. Genesis chapter number 3, I believe. Let me find it myself. Genesis chapter number, Genesis 3, verse 7. The eyes, now this is after they sinned. You remember that? And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew. Underline that. This is a new knowledge for them. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What do you mean they knew they were naked? Didn't they know that before? Apparently not. So this is new knowledge. Now, when we got born again, this new knowledge Adam and Eve got became less dominant.
Right. That's right.
And we came back to the spirit man came back to a knowledge more like they had before the fall. Which was revelation knowledge. Adam and Eve were not that conscious of physical things. They knew about physical things, but they weren't as conscious of physical things, including their body, as they were of spiritual things and God. Because whenever they sinned, all of a sudden they had a new knowledge. It was knowledge in sin consciousness. Knowledge of sin. Knowledge of separation from God. More knowledge of natural things. In other words, this new kind of knowledge that Adam and Eve got was knowledge that they got from their 5 physical senses. Wish I had a friend in this church. I know, you're just listening. I'm just messing with you. Amen. Knowledge of their 5. More, they were, the 5 physical senses, the knowledge that their 5 physical senses gave them became more dominant. You see that? They knew they were naked. That's something about their physical being. It wasn't that they didn't know that before. It's just that it didn't really dawn on them. They weren't that conscious of that. They're more conscious of the glory, more conscious of the presence of God, more conscious of the righteousness that they had. Now this new, this that when they sin, remember all of sin and come short of the glory of God? They lost the glory of God, and they lost their standing with God. Remember God came to fellowship, and they said they were afraid, and they hid themselves. They had fellowship with God, like we were talking about Wednesday night, but now they're separated from God. Just hold on, we're going somewhere with this. But they got this new knowledge, this knowledge of the five physical senses and what the five physical senses told them, as well as knowledge of unworthiness to stand in the presence of God, became dominant. Well, in the new birth, God reversed that. Ah, that's what Colossians 3:10 is talking about. This new man has a new knowledge of right standing with God. And to him, natural things, he's completely blind to natural things. He's not knowledgeable. The new creation has no knowledge of who your parents were, who you are in the flesh, what your fleshly pedigree is, how much of a degree you have down at the university, what your salary is, nothing like that. He knows nothing like that. All he knows is the in Christ realities. That's all he knows. Ooh, I'm about to go ahead and preach. This knowledge he has is in the image of God. Colossians 3:10. It's in the image of God. In other words, it's knowledge according to how God knows him. He knows what God knows. Hallelujah. Your head hasn't caught up with... Renewing the mind comes in. We're to get the same image in our minds through renewing our mind to the image of what God knows and our own human spirit knows, because it's born again and in fellowship with God. See, that's where he's getting that knowledge from, the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of him. The Bible said you have an unction and you know all things. Well, I don't know everything. Well, the spirit man knows a whole lot of things your mind doesn't know. And he knows who he is in Christ. Now, that image is on the inside of him, but that image was also put in the Word of God. Amen. 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 I don't know if you're ready to go deeper this morning. Let's go over. We're going to just shuck the corn a little bit. Go over with me to, where am I looking here? 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Say that. That's a good confession for you and me. I have the mind of Christ. In other words, I know what he thinks of me. I know the way he thinks of different decisions I have to make. Yes. Now, we don't know the mind of Christ in our minds unless our minds have been renewed with it. That's why he said, put on the new man and put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's your mentality. The spirit of your mind is not just one thought. It's a mentality. It's a way of thinking.
Yes, sir.
Listen, and your environment will create ways of thinking. And if you're not careful, you'll just have a cap on your thinking because of your environment, because of associations, because everybody else thinks like that. But it might be foreign, totally foreign and strange to your inner man. But see, you keep acting the way you see yourself, not the way you really are. Did you see that? You and I don't act the way we are. We act the way we see ourselves to be. Amen. What if a family had a child, and the child began to grow, and they also had a pet dog, and the child liked the dog and spent a lot of time with the dog. And one time you looked out there, and the child is out there, crawling around on all fours like a dog. And then he comes in for dinner, and then you let him out after dinner. Let him out. But you How many of you know you got to keep him at the table until he's done eating? He goes out there and he crawls in the doghouse. He's going to sleep out there tonight. Huh?
Yeah.
And then next morning, you see he gets up and he's eating out dog food out of the dog bowl.
Yeah.
Well, you'd go out there and tell that child who he is.
Yes, thank you.
And who he's not.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Because he's got to get his mind renewed. Because he's spending too much time with dogs. Starting to act like one. Starting to smell like one.
Come on with it.
You know what I'm talking about? Walking around on all fours like a dog. Roll over and scratch my belly like a dog. You'd have to say that child doesn't know who he is. Somebody's got to tell him who he is. It doesn't, because we don't act like who we are. We act like who we think we are. People act like they can't because they believe they can. But the Bible said, I can do all things. Oh, I just can't do this. God told me to get some more education. I just can't do it. Well, you sure you can? Stop saying that. Stop thinking that. You got to get a new image, new imagination in the image of God. Amen. Woo, glory. So, but back here it says, back here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, that we who hath known the mind of the Lord, he may instruct him, we have the mind of Christ. That's not necessarily in our mind unless our mind is being renewed. That's only, the mind of Christ is only in our thought life unless, to the degree that our mind is renewed. Really what he's talking about, if you go back through all of chapter 2, especially verses 7, 8, 9, down and all through there, and you read what it says, really he's not talking about we have the mind of Christ in our mind. He's talking about we have the mind of Christ in our spirits. We know these things in our spirits. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, tells us these things. Hallelujah. But you could look at that two different ways. We have the mind of Christ. You could say the Spirit in us reveals the mind of God, or the Word, as given by inspiration of the Spirit, is God's thoughts written down. Amen. And we have the mind of God in His Word. Amen. That's why whenever we hear the Word, our spirit goes, yes!
Right.
That's not, that's right. That's the truth. That's the truth. We know that. We know when we hear the truth. That's what 1 John 2:27 is talking about. The anointing you've received of Him abides in you. You don't need any man to teach you. The same anointing teaches you. Teaches who? You. Who's you? Your spirit man. Teaches your spirit man all things in His truth and is not a lie. Just as He has taught you, you shall abide, notice two words, in Him. In Him. Hallelujah. Your spirit man knows. When you hear the Word of God, he knows it's true. Your mind might go, no, that's not me. That's, no, I know me. I know, well, you're practicing what the Bible says. No, you're doing what the Bible says not to do. Know no man after the flesh. No man includes you. Don't know yourself after the flesh. Well, I've failed so many times. I'm just weak. I'm a failure. I this, I that. You're knowing yourself after the flesh. Not supposed to know yourself after the flesh. Know yourself after the knowledge of God. In the image of God. Hallelujah. So, the Word of God has that image in it as well. The inner man has that image in him. But the Word of God is given to feed that. And even renew our minds to it so that our mind begins to get the light of who we really are. And our spirit will reinforce that because the Holy Spirit's in there teaching him. So you could say this image, notice that we have the mind of Christ. You could say that means we have the mind of God because in our spirits because the God, Spirit of God reveals it to us. Or the Word of God is given by inspiration of the Spirit. And it's God's thoughts written down. And really, when we get God's Word, we renew our mind with God's Word, we get a new image of ourselves. in the light of the way God sees us. Not in the light of our own distorted image, our own critical negative image, but in the light of the Word of God. Like somebody said, what do you think about that? You might just go say, well, let me hold on here. Let me go to my brain. Here's what I think. Okay. I think I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The doctor says you've only got 6 months. What do you think about that? Well, let me go to my brain here. The mind of Christ. Oh, by His stripes I was healed. Ooh. Let me look here in my brain. Hallelujah. People say that's radical. Well, then just live a boring life. I'm going to go for the radical. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. So God's image of you is in your spirit. The new man has that new knowledge, but it's also in the Word of God. Jesus found Himself in the Word. He said in Luke 4, He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. And he read that. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, that's talking about me. He found Himself in the Word.
Yeah, amen.
Your picture's in there too.
Right.
Your the epistles of Paul, especially, but all the epistles, are God's family photo album. You can look in there and you can see pictures of you. You in Christ. Not you in your own, you know, I'm of Joe and Mary Smith and, you know, I was born in 1957 or whatever, you know. That's not the image we're talking about. That man will disappoint you. Paul said he knew that he knew himself no longer after the flesh. And he said, I just want to be known as a man in Christ. How do you get to know yourself after the way God sees you? You find yourself in Christ. You meditate in the Word, the New Testament epistles, and speak those realities over yourself. And it renews the image and the imagination. You ever thought about that verse, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, casting down images. Casting down imaginations or images in your own thought life of yourself. You know, we were talking about that child starting to act like a dog. You'd have to say that child doesn't know who they are. Isn't that right? And people that new, let's put it this way, new creations that act like sinners, talk like sinners, laugh at the same jokes as sinners. You know what I'm talking about? And do all the sinners do. They don't know who they are. Amen. I was preaching last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, about some things, about fellowship and so forth, and not fellowshipping with the world. And I went home, and the Lord said that to me. That's one of the reasons I'm preaching on this. I was picking up with what Pastor Debbie was talking last night about images, imagination, getting a new picture.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I went home Wednesday night, and the Lord said the reason people act the way they act is because they don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They still see themselves as the old man. That old imagination has to be washed out. Now, 1 Corinthians, let's see if I can find this. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 13:34, is it? Let me find it. It says, in 1 Corinthians, I was wrong. It's 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness. He didn't say become righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. He said, wake up to the fact you're the righteousness of God. And sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. They have not what?
Knowledge.
The knowledge of God. Or knowledge in the image of God. In other words, their minds haven't been renewed to the knowledge that their spirit man has. Which is in righteousness. Now we're going deeper this morning. We're not skimming across the surface. We're not running wave runners this morning. Just bouncing from wave to wave. We put on scuba diving gear. We went down. We're going to see what's really down in there. Some of you are going, glug, 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 glug. We've laid enough foundation. In fact, we preached all this before. This shouldn't be foreign to us. But he said, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. What knowledge is he talking about? He basically said knowledge of righteousness. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. He said, that's why they were sinning, because they weren't aware of their righteousness. People have it in reverse. If they would stop sinning, they would be righteous. God said, if you knew you were righteous, you'd stop sinning. People, they get it all mixed up. Amen. That's how I overcome a lot of the flesh. I said, that's not who I am. I'm created in righteousness and true holiness. After God. Hallelujah. But if you don't know that, if that imagination hasn't gotten on the inside of your being, see, people say, well, we need to pull down these strongholds and so forth. Just walk in the knowledge of God. Go to another passage. I haven't swamped anybody yet, have we? This is where victory is. This is really where the devil works hard to try to overcome people. If this was not a big issue, why does the devil fight in this area so much? It is a big issue, that's why. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. 2 Peter 2:20. If after they have escaped the pollution of the world, talking about us born again people, who have getting our minds renewed, if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, is he talking about when you fly into LA and you see that haze? What's he talking about? No, he's not talking about that. The pollution of the world is Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. These evil forces, demonic powers, that push wrong knowledge. Well, where'd you get that? What do you mean they push wrong knowledge? Read the rest of the verse. For after that, if they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, some people don't emphasize knowledge enough. The Bible, you just do go home and read you got a program, a Bible program. Anybody got one of those on the computer? Just put in knowledge. In the New Testament especially, put in knowledge. You'll be shocked. You might not get to bed by midnight reading them all. The Bible's big on getting knowledge. Because this is where you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This is where real victory really is. No, but we need to pull down all these strongholds. Well, if you know how they work, how do they work? He said, we've escaped the pollution that is in the world through the knowledge. How did we escape? Through getting right knowledge. Through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, if people that come out of that and then they go back and they're entangled again in this wrong knowledge, overcome, the latter end is worse than the first. People say, well, I'm just going back to the world. Oh, honey, you have no idea what's waiting for you back there. Now that you've got a little knowledge, that's more dangerous than even before when you came out of the world. Because now He's after you. He doesn't like that knowledge you got. I wish Christians had more of an awareness of how important knowledge is. Now, notice, I want you to see this. We're not done with this. 2 Peter 2:20. After they have escaped the pollution that is in the world. So he calls what's in the atmosphere, let's say it this way, what's in the spiritual atmosphere of this world, polluted knowledge. We escaped. It has to be wrong knowledge that we've escaped, because he said the way we escaped is through right knowledge. Paul had wrong knowledge of Jesus and was persecuting Christians. He knew Him after the flesh. He said that in that passage, 2 Corinthians 5, what is it, verse 16? Somewhere in there, 14, 15, 16. He said, that's where he said there, know no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh. Paul said at one time, I knew Christ after the flesh. That's when he was persecuting Christians. But he met him in who he really was on the road to Damascus. And he got some new knowledge. Amen. He found out who Jesus really was. And there is no such thing as, by the way, as finding out who Jesus really is and you not finding out who you really are. Because you're in Him. When it says in Ephesians 1, you know, pray the prayer there that we pray that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And if you read the whole context, it's the knowledge of Him and of being in Him. Let me give you an illustration. Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say this, some say that. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because Peter's the one that said that. Peter said, "Blessed art thou, Peter," we call him Peter, "for flesh and blood." Okay, so this tells us something about this new knowledge. It's not flesh and blood knowledge, like Adam and Eve fell to. And we all did, by the way, where our sense knowledge is the dominant. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter. In other words, you didn't get this through the channel of the five physical senses. This knowledge of who I am, you didn't get it through the channel of the five physical senses. That's flesh and blood. The five physical senses, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, those five physical senses are in your flesh. If your body was dead, you'd be dead to the physical world. I mean, you wouldn't be aware of the physical world. People say all kinds of things. Well, my daddy knows that I just graduated, and my daddy knows. He knows nothing of it. Well, I hit a nerve there. Did you hear that? A holy hush. They know, if your daddy went to heaven, he knows spiritual things, but nothing about natural things. Well, my daddy's happy. I just did this. I just did that. He doesn't know you just went out for ice cream. He just doesn't know it. Are you aware of all they're doing spiritually up there right now?
No.
That's because that realm is hidden to us.
Exactly.
Well, this realm is hidden to them.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Except for what happens spiritually down here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's exactly the truth. Anyway, so but the new man created in the image of God has this new knowledge. And the polluted, the spirits of this world that pollute the atmosphere of the earth, the way they do it is through wrong knowledge. That's where evolution comes from. Wrong knowledge is being pushed all around you every day. News, media, all kinds of stuff. It's all the truth. Your and my head is not supposed to be filled with wrong knowledge. We're getting our minds renewed to the truth, the knowledge of the truth. Remember God, in 1 Timothy, he said God would have all men, you know, pray for kings, all their authority. You know, that for God would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of God. A lot of people emphasize getting saved. I would emphasize that "and" part just as much. Because without you walking into that "and," the devil's going to beat you up. Because he'll tell you lies and you'll believe them. About God, about himself, the devil tell lies about himself. Don't go to the devil to find out about the devil. Go to God's word and find out about the devil. You don't need to study the occult and all that. And he'll tell you lies about himself. He'll tell you lies about yourself. He'll just say, you're a failure. God doesn't love you. God's against you. He's mad at you. He'll tell you all kinds of lies, day in and day out. It's polluted, corrupted knowledge. It's knowledge, but it's a lie. I said it's a lie. There's so many lies that people are falling for that it's a little bit, if I didn't keep my knowledge, my head in the book, it's a little bit scary. People are scary. Not that I'm scared of them. But they're dangerous to our world. You know what I'm talking about? Their heads are full of stuff. You ever remember Pigpen in the cartoon? Was that? I mean, that's the way, if you saw in the spirit, that's the way a lot of people, even Christians. Thoughts of this, thoughts of that, wrong knowledge about this, wrong knowledge about that. I better not say it. So, you don't act like who you are, you act like who you imagine yourself to be. If people's knowledge has been corrupted, their imagination is not reality. Let's go over, because you're wondering, where did I get that corrupted? It says pollution here, but go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that's craftiness, so your minds should be what? Corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Where does Satan work? People's minds. What's he trying to do? Pollute them with wrong knowledge. Corrupt them with wrong thinking. And it's a little like, if you're not careful, somebody said, well, I'm not thinking wrong. Well, it'd be like you going into a smoke-filled room. You ever go into, now restaurants don't allow smoking, you know, and it's different now. But remember years ago, you'd go into a restaurant and somebody's in there smoking or something. Even if there's a smoking section, if you're sitting close to it, and you come out of there and you smell like them. You weren't smoking, but you just around them. That's the way this is a little bit. You got to keep your nose in the book. To keep that wrong knowledge from just kind of keep you from just absorbing wrong thinking because of people around you. Just because they think that way doesn't mean God thinks that way. We gotta find out what God really says. So he mentions this corrupted knowledge here. Satan, you know the story. God said some things about what to do about, you know, not to eat of the tree, so forth. And Satan came along and put in a thought in their mind that they had not had, which was a lie. You understand? So we got to be diligent. The Bible said, guard your heart. Guard what gets into your thought life. So we don't act like who we are. We act like who we imagine ourselves to be. If our minds have been corrupted, then our imagination has been corrupted. But a corrupted mind does not have the knowledge of God. In other words, knowledge in the image that God has of you. So people are acting like something that they're not. Amen. They see themselves in the light of their own thinking. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Satan has deceived them by their own imagination. They see themselves in their own negative light. And listen, that can be very powerful. Those images can be very powerful, very real, but not be reality. I have experienced this. I have woken up from time to time, and it's like, oh my goodness. That's what was binding me all those years. But as I didn't get there, go over to Hebrews chapter 4. I didn't get there without meditating in the Word of God. Because that Word has those images of you and me. God's real, actual, true images of you and me, the Word has that in it. And it will reveal wrong thinking. That's what Hebrews 4 says here in chapter number 4, verse number 12. Notice what the Word of God does, Hebrews 4:12. He said the word of God is quick, that means alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Now get this statement. And is a discerner. Other translations say a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It reveals, the Word of God will reveal. It'll not only show you who you really are in the image of God, how God sees you, but it will show you where you're not acting true to your nature.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That's so
It'll show you who you are, but it'll also wash away the darkness that Satan has built in your imagination. That he has, the image that he has put in your imagination of yourself, an image formed in the dark. You understand what I mean, the dark? Dark means outside of the knowledge of God. Remember, the entrance of his word gives light. I know we're just this is strong and it's very potent. You're going to have to listen to this again because there's God started talking to me in ways I'm like, Lord, that's a lot to just unload, but I believe it's time to attack some of these wrong images. Things that we got into our imagination that was formed in Satan's dark room of wrong knowledge. The Word of God will show that up. Nothing else on this planet will. You can live your whole life thinking a certain way or imagining yourself to be a certain thing or a certain way and get to heaven and go, oh my goodness. Why did I think that way? Thank God he'll wipe away all tears.
Yes. Yeah. Come on.
Meaning there's going to be someone to flow.
Yeah.
I don't want to get there and have a bunch of tears. I want to get there and have like, whoa. Where's Sister Sandra? I want to dance with Sister Sandra. Amen. Glory. So are you getting this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he said here, this word, the word is a revealer. It'll show things up that you didn't see because it's light. Yeah, you can hold up, you can get dressed to come to church, and if the lights aren't on in your closet, hold it up and it looks good. Put it on, walk outside. It's all wrinkly. Here's a stain from the last time you wore it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Why didn't you see it in there? Because it was dark.
Dark.
Dark. Right? This is light. The entrance of his word gives light. This is light. This is also the image of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the reasons Christians act the way they act is because of the way they see themselves. Now, that could be good or bad. You understand? I'm not just being negative there. They, because of the way they see themselves. Hallelujah. Or they might have come up to the light at one time, and God showed them who they really are, and then they walked away and forgot. The Bible talks about that in James chapter number 1. You ever read that? So, notice 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Wait. Stop. Glory. We look in the mirror and see the glory?
Yes, exactly.
Who do you see when you look in a mirror? Even in the natural, who do you see? Your natural man. Right? Here he's talking about the Word of God. If you read other passages, the mirror is the Word of God. He's talking about looking into the Word of God. And seeing you?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but he said, see, beholding the glory. The glory is you in the image of God. You're seeing yourself in God's image. In other words, the way God sees you. Oh, I like that man better than I like myself. I like him. Hallelujah. I fell in love with the new creation. It's no longer I that lives. It's him that lives in me. And I like him a whole lot better. Glory. That's what the new creation is. It's Christ formed in the believer. I can look at myself in my own critical light and say, you failed here, and you're such a weakling here, and you're not a success here, and you did this wrong, and you said that wrong, and the devil is always busy hounding us He's trying to keep us in the light, seeing ourselves in the light of our own critical image.
Yep,
get us out of the spirit and get us in the flesh. Because he can defeat us in that realm. With condemnation. Isn't that right? Loathing, self-loathing of ourselves, seeing ourselves, you know, unworthy to receive, which is not an accurate picture. It's polluted knowledge. It's polluted with sin consciousness. Oh, this is good preaching. I'm not taking the credit for it. I'm just saying, the Lord's helping us this morning. Glory to God. I like that. Like it. But 2 Corinthians 3:18, we'll be holding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, notice, are changed. Changed. Look at your neighbor and say, I'd like to see some change in you. But it doesn't happen by telling people I'd like to see change. It happens by us, by what we're looking at. Britney Spears isn't very popular anymore, but I used to say, if your daughter's starting to look like Britney Spears, we know she's watching Britney Spears. Or, and you just name the popular. If they want to dress like them, wear their hair like them, get ugly like them. No, I mean, just, you know.
Come on now. Come on. Tell the truth.
You start, whatever you're looking at, you start taking on that image. Yeah. Yeah. Glory to God. I mean, if you do the right thing, you're looking at the right thing. Glory to God. Okay, let's read it again. We all beholding. Beholding. That means looking. As in a mirror. The mirror is the Word of God. Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, when I look in a mirror, I see him a natural man. So he's talking about looking in the mirror and seeing myself in the image of God. In the image of God is the glory of the Lord. Beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into what? Oh, there's that word image again. Changed into the same image. Shoo, glory to God. The image of God. Thank God. That in the image of that new knowledge that he's getting from the Word of God. Hallelujah. So when the devil comes just saying, you're this, you that, you just go back to the Word and hold up the mirror. And say, ah, the devil's trying to put an image in me of my own natural thinking, polluted, corrupted knowledge. It might seem like reality, because the devil will bring pictures of, remember when you did this? See, you're weak in this area. You're a failure, you're over here. He'll bring pictures. What are those images? Images. Trying to fill your imagination. With corrupted, not, you ever, I've used this illustration before. You ever been to a fair where they have all these games and stuff? You know where I'm going, don't you? That's a sign you're getting it. But, you know, and they got this one mirror that's all distorted, and you walk up to it, and you look like you're 2 feet, or, well, 2.5, 3 feet tall, and about 4 feet wide. You're like, whoa, get away from that, you know. That is not me. That is not a true picture of who I really am. Better stop eating corn dogs and hamburgers right there, buddy. Like, whoa, get rid of the corn dogs, you know. It's a distorted image, isn't it? And that's what religion will do. That's what the devil will do. He'll hold up a mirror that's the wrong mirror. And you look into that and it'll distort the picture of who you really are. You'll see yourself in your own critical light. Not the way God sees you. This is the only accurate mirror right here. And you've got to fight. When I don't mean fight the devil, I mean fight to not take in those wrong images. You got to renew your mind. Wash yourself with the water of the Word. Renew your thinking to who God sees you to be. Because the devil is always, and the flesh, is always trying to tell you a lie. about who you really are. Praise the Lord for the truth. I'm glad I came to church this morning. Now, when you go to, you know, whenever a, go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 says in chapter number, let's refer to that, but go to 2 Corinthians. For time's sake, go to 2 Corinthians 12. I'll refer to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4:18, you're going to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says about, it says, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. See, if you're looking at things seen, you're going to call things that be as though they are. You look at things that are not seen, you're going to call things that be not as though they are. Man, I'm getting some help myself. But here in 2 Corinthians 12, in chapter number 12, verse number 1, Paul's speaking here, it's expedient for you, for me, doubtless, to glory. I'll come to visions, notice, visions and what? Revelations of the Lord. Revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Here's one of the places where he's referring to himself, but he said, I knew a man in Christ. He didn't call himself Paul. You need to really, really tweak when people says, how you doing? You know what I'm talking about? You say how you're doing in Christ. You could want to cry and say, I'm always victorious. Glory to God. I knew a man in Christ. Just know yourself in Christ. Always victorious. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And if you read verse 7, he received the abundance of revelations being caught up to the third heaven. Now, he said, I didn't know if I was in my body or out of my body. Think about that. If you didn't have a body, you could still see. Now, you have two physical eyes, right? But 2 Corinthians, we just quoted 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look not at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. How do we look at things not seen? We must have more than two eyes. People call you four eyes. No, everybody's got four eyes. There's the eyes of your heart that can see things that your physical man can't see. Realities in an unseen not physical world. And friend, I spend much time guarding this. Because as soon as a wrong thing gets in, I've washed out a lot of stuff. I don't mean it's all, I'm still washing out some. But as soon as wrong images try to get in, I fight that thing. Not fighting devils, but I'm talking about that wrong image. I go back to the images of God, and I just wash all that out. Wash all that out. I fight that. Because I know if that gets in, I'm whooped. I know that. We should all learn that. Fight to keep the right knowledge. Fight to keep the right image of ourselves. The devil, through circumstances, through emotions, through demonic influences and voices in the spirit realm, will try to talk to you and tell you things that distort the knowledge of God. Emotions will distort the knowledge of God. You will feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. And you're seated with Jesus the whole time. You're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. But we've got to renew our mind to that and be talking that all the time. Talking that all the time. Talking that all the time. Praise God. Woo! I'm liking these conferences. Praise the Lord. Now, if you didn't have a body, you could still see. Paul said, I didn't know whether I was in my body. I'm thoroughly convinced he was out of his body, by the way. But if he didn't have a body, he said he still could see some things. Isn't that right? So, you need to emphasize what your spiritual eyes are seeing. Kind of get, I don't know, Lord help me to describe this. I got to the place to where my spirit man grew enough to where I could look right at something and it not affect me. I'm talking about with the eyes of my physical man. Because of the image that's in here is so powerful. What I'm seeing with my eyes means nothing. It doesn't communicate any messages to me. I answer it. I talk to it. I say, you're a lie. The Bible, Jonah said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. There are many things. I'm not talking about if you walk across the street and see a car coming, that's a lie and vanity. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the devil trying to tell you who you are, what you can't do and all that by the images he puts in your mind through sense knowledge sometimes. But you, the image of God can grow so big on the inside of you through feeding it on God's Word, renewing your mind to it, that all these natural things look right at them and they mean nothing. Because you're so full of the image that God's given you. Hallelujah. Now and you need to know that you can see with the eyes of your spirit things that you can't see with the eyes of your natural man. When the military or Apple computer or manufacturers of some new car or something unveil a new model or a new updated something, a new plane, a new tank or whatever, they have a revealing ceremony. It's up there on the stage. If it's a computer something with got a cover over it or, you know, a military piece of equipment in a hangar and they open the door, whatever, and they're unveiling something new. It's a revealing ceremony. Isn't that right? So, when God says to Christians, born again people, says, you know, I made you new. You're a new man. You know what I'm talking about? You're a new man in Christ. Now, I want you to go down there to that church. They're having a revealing ceremony. Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. Yes. Yes. Revealing the new creation. Yes. The new man. Yes. I want you to go down there and find out what I made. Yes. Talking to them. Talking about them. They're the new creation. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, well, I don't know. They're born again Christians. I don't know who I am. Well, why don't you go to the revealing ceremony? That's what church is. Find out who you really are. Especially churches that open their Bible and read in the New Testament and find things that God said about them. These are God's family photo albums right here. When you look at a photo album, when you go to Grandma's for Christmas and she pulls out the old photo albums, you turn the pages, and you're not looking for Uncle John. You're not looking for your Aunt Susie. You're looking for you.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
You vain person, you. We all do it. Look at me. What was I thinking? What was that hairstyle all about, really? I mean, ugly, ugly, ugly. Isn't that right? But God's family photo album, this is, and so when you look in here, you should practice that. Look for yourself. Yeah. Somebody said, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. Yeah, and you're in Him. Jesus was raised up far above all principalities and powers, and so were you. That's the revealing ceremony. Thank God. Praise the Lord. So, you can't find out who you really are without looking in the Word. So, let the imagination... imagination is not wrong. It just has to be formed right. It has to be formed with the right things. So, when we stand up and preach, or anybody that's preaching the Word stands up and preaches, they're basically using the words of God especially if they're preaching the Word. They're using the words of God. They're actually doing this if they're not preaching the Word, just painting the wrong pictures. They're using words to paint pictures. Jesus told parables. I can tell we've got to end here because we've gotten a lot out and people won't be able to endure a whole lot more. But Jesus told parables, right? Why? He was painting word pictures so people could get it. Hallelujah. He said the kingdom of heaven is it like this. He described fish nets and seeds and so many different things. And so whenever a minister stands up and preaches the Word of God, they're using words to paint pictures of who God is and who they are in Christ. Amen? And a good minister will speak enough words to give people, and they'll describe the new creation in enough words and to try to get as accurate as possible to where people can identify themselves easily and quickly. Let's say we dismissed service and you were like, something out there in the car I wanted to give somebody. And you told your son, go out. Or no, not your son, but somebody didn't know your car, what your car looked like or what kind of car you drive. You'd say to them, hey, here's my keys. Could you go out there to my car and grab and open the door? And right there on the passenger seat, there's a box with a bow around it. I want to give that to somebody. Could you go get that for me? And they say, well, what's your car look like? Yeah. Which car is it? Right. Yeah. Oh, it's this. It's a Toyota Camry, light blue. You describe it. The more words you use, when they walk out into that parking lot, the quicker they can identify that car. If you just said it's a car, they'd go out there and there's cars of all shapes and all sizes and all models and all. And they'd come back in and say, okay, what color is it? Light blue. Okay, you go out there and there's seven light blue ones. Or what kind is it? Toyota Camry. Oh, okay, now I can. Right? The more words you use, the more you can identify, the person that's going out can identify the car. Well, that's what a minister is up here doing. He's up here describing you and all the details, taking God's word, not just our own opinion, taking what God said about you and I and describing us. And that's what God did in his word. He described us in enough detail. We can look in there and go, I see. I identify myself. Brother Hagin told a story. He was watching Christian TV one time. This lady sang beautifully. And then they sat down. This lady sat down and they interviewed her. And she proceeded to tell, this is way back years ago, proceeded to tell how she didn't know who she was. So she left her husband to go out and find herself. Find out who she was. He said, I got so disgusted the further she talked. A Christian doesn't know who they are. He said, I turned it over and watch the ball game. He said, I didn't care to hear all that. Christian, I know who they are. Who am I? Well, look in the Word. Find out who you are. Did the Word help you this morning? Thank God for the right images. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God described you in enough detail that you could identify yourself immediately. Hallelujah. Just like you sent that person out there because you wanted them to identify your car because you wanted them to get something out of that car. God wants to identify you as clearly as he can because he wants something out of you. He wants a victorious life. That benefits him. He wants you walking in dominion down here. Not being dominated by circumstances, diseases, everything that goes around. Because he needs something. He's trying to get victorious living out of us. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. So there's right knowledge and wrong knowledge. Did you get that this morning? And God wants us to get the right knowledge. Stand up with me. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I know one of the ways God brings people into the plan He has for them is take them through, sometimes it's intense, a process of washing old things out. And sometimes people say, why is God working so strong on me? Why is He dealing with me? Why is He not letting me live like I used to, or watch things like I used to, or do what I used to do, or spend time goofing off like I used to? And He's always bringing me to the book, bringing me to the Word. Why is He? Because He's endeavoring to get you to the place where you see yourself right. Because He can't do what He wants to do through us if we see ourselves wrong. Some of the things He's dealt with me to do in ministry, I have to really guard, because I'm like, you got the wrong guy. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. You got the wrong person. I'm just not that. I'm just not able. You know, if I'm talking about my own name. And he's see, God all through the Word of God renamed people. Abraham, Sarah, Peter. You go through the Bible. It's over and over and over. He renamed people. What's He doing? He's working on how they see themselves. In every case. Working on how they see. Because in order for them to fulfill divine destiny, He has to get them to see what they see themselves the way He sees them. And He's doing that with all of us. This is not a shallow church. Have you noticed? Where we get just little sermonettes. You know, sermonettes are for Christianettes. We're laughing, but it's the truth. Little things about quoting Abraham Lincoln and Mama, Grandma. Come on now. Why has God sent you to a place like this? Because He's raising up some crack troops, that's why. Some special forces that can get some things done nobody else can get done. Glory! People who know who they are. And the assignments He's going to send people on in this room, the devil's going to go ballistic on them. And they're going to stand and laugh at Him because they know. They know. That's what Pastor Ike and Pastor Jalen did. If I could tell you what they went through when they first went over there, oh, hell broke loose. But the devil jumped on the wrong donkey. Because I'm not calling them. You know, people could take that wrong. But you know what I mean. He just couldn't do with them what He has done to so many. Because they knew who they were. They knew who He was. And they knew who they were in Him. Glory to God. This job down here is going to get done. This message is going to get out. We're going to get this thing done. But it's not going to be through Christianettes. Amen. Praise God. No sermonettes at Spirit of Faith Family Church. So now you know why you're here. So buckle up. Amen. Where's Reese and Amanda? They came to me the other day saying some things God said to them. I've been praying for them. Are you back there? There you are. I've been praying for them because I thought, oh, Jesus. I know what comes against that. But they're in the right place. They're being prepared for what God's called them to do. And the devil tries everything he tries on everybody else and takes them out. And he'll try it on them because they're getting the word in them. He'll try it on them and nothing will happen. It won't work. Won't work. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Ha. The devil throws his best shot at some of us. And we go, huh. What was that? Felt like a bug bounced off of me or something. And the devil's shaking in his boots. That was my best shot. Uh-oh. It's not working on them like it works on everybody else. Glory! The devil tried to kill Paul, put him in prison, do all kinds of stuff. And he couldn't hold him down. He couldn't stop him. He couldn't shut him up. Because he had this in Christ revelation. Somebody shout, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Tim and Don, don't go by how you feel. Your feelings won't tell you an accurate picture of how God sees you. Your feelings tell you much about unworthiness, much about your failures, and so forth. But keep saying who you are. Keep decreeing the Word of God. No, you have not failed. No, you are not done. No, because you've stood and not taken the devil's image, you are not finished. And that plan has not been changed by the head of the church. The plan is the same. Ha, ha, ha. So hold up your heads. Hold up your heads. Don't look down. Don't look depressed, discouraged, or heavy. Not that you have been, but I'm just encouraging you. Keep on looking up, looking to the knowledge of God, looking to who He says you are, and watch the glory of the Lord appear. It'll appear, first of all, on the inside of your being. And then it'll appear all around you. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And don't think what you're seeing right now is the fullness of that glory. For the fullness of that glory is what you've had in your heart all along. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. So rejoice. Hallelujah. When the devil brings pictures and brings condemnation and so forth, just rejoice and count it all joy. Because you know. 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 You know the rest of the story. You have inside information. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Be blessed. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you are being changed from glory to glory? Follow Sister Sandra's example. She likes herself. You see, it's not in the flesh. She likes herself in the spirit.
Yes.
Because she knows who God sees her as. People say, that's not right to like yourself. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, your neighbor's in trouble. I'm going to treat you like I treat myself. Boom, 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 boom. Glory.